and welcome to RTÉ Radio 1's The Rolling Wave podcast with me, Aoife Nic Cormick. In this episode, you'll be listening to the second part of Peter Brown's radio documentary about Sliabh Luachra fiddle player Dennis Murphy, who died 50 years ago this year. This is part two of Memories of Dennis Murphy.
No one really ever heard Dennis playing properly. I always say that, and I maintain it to this present day, that no one ever heard him playing when he'd be really playing.
Whenever he came to Killarney, he'd have to come in, you know, we'd have some bit of a crack. And if anyone's around, the fiddler'd always be in the car, and it was very easy to lay him.
He used to sing occasionally if he was playing a tune, particularly jigs or very old tunes. He had words to some of them. And I remember Going for Water was one, you know, going for water. It's a slide, I think.
The last night Dennis played here, his friend Artie O'Keefe, next door neighbor from Lisheed, came along, and Artie and Dennis played away, and no one wanted to dance.
Memories of Dennis Murphy, two programmes recalling the life and music of a famous Kerry fiddle player by Peter Brown. Part two, Dennis's music and singing, the return from the United States, and the last night in Knocknagree.
Dennis and Julia Mary Murphy spent years working in America on several visits, but they never seriously considered settling there.
Dennis's idea about America was, as I told you before, he was there but his heart was at home. He wanted to get as much as he could, as quick as he could, and get out of it.
So he kept going back to America until he had enough time done and got the pension. And I asked Dennis, I think maybe when I met him again after he came back, I said, like, why wouldn't you stay in America? Because that night I was with him, that time in New York, he took me and we had a great session, and there seemed to be all sorts of musicians around. So I said to him, like, why would you not stay in America? He said, in America you'd have to be watching the music and you'd have to be watching the work, and so you couldn't be watching both of them. So when he came home, he only had to watch the music because, you know, he had the pension and he didn't need to work. So he really came into his own then.
I met him 2 days after he came in, and I said, Dennis, did you like it over? No, he was not too interested in it over. He would be up too early, and it was a fast-going country, you know, Peter, and it didn't suit him. That's very good. This place, he said, was terribly relaxed, like, even that he was only home for a couple of days, but of course he knew it previous to that, and he lived here all his lifetime, but he said this was a very happy-go-lucky kind of a country, like, and I asked him, was he going to stay at home, and he said he wouldn't go back anymore. So he settled in again, and even where we gave years together playing then. He was calling me every whole evening. We went in many places. But he got on all right, and yes, he seemed to like it anyway. He built a lovely, beautiful house after coming home and everything.
And we stayed then. We stayed. And we were doing fine. He had cattle and calves and things, and he was doing all right, playing the music here and there and that. Dan Connor, the Knocknagree, he used to play there.
Anywhere Dennis would be going, he'd always come for me. We struck a great combination, and we were the best of friends all our life. I love Dennis Murphy. And even still, whenever I'm into my mind, whatever combination we had, like, he was a pure gentleman in the walk of life, anywhere we go with him.
Anywhere you wanted him to go, they went too, but he came to Dublin several times for bits and nights and concerts and programmes and all that. With them together, the crack was mighty, because they were very joyous kind of people. They were both full of fun, and that came out in the music, and it made it that bit wilder and more exciting and happier, if you like, you know.
We're above the All Grounds Hotel in Innison. We're inside in a big room. I said there was about 150 people, and they were playing the music of the different regions, and musicians from Liverpool and all over England, and as well as all over Ireland, and there were reels and reels and reels and reels, and there was nothing but tape recorders and people having their arm under their head like that, and resting away, and they're taping away. So the next thing I knew, if you'd like to describe what that was, a dull audience like that, you know, there was no life in it other than taking the music, like taping the music. So anyhow, the next thing I knew, it was announced that Johnny and Dennis, or Dennis and Johnny were from Slieve Lucre, were coming up now to give a selection of Slieve Lucre music. And in less than 2 minutes, that whole crowd had transformed into a lively, vibrating crowd, with people taking coins out of their pocket and tipping and drumming and ashtrays and everything. So it brought a crowd from a dull audience to a complete lively crowd. So I came home fully convinced. I hadn't as much experience in music that time as I had now, that we in Slieve Lucre had something. And especially Dennis and Johnny.
1949, that was above his own house. Seamus Innes was recording there. And Dennis told me to come over and bring over a small little accordion, a DD sharp with two of the keys. And I was played with Dennis a lot, and he liked it with the fiddle. And we had a great understanding for playing. So I remember quite well, it was in the old house. He had a thatched house, half door there, which was in every house near the same around, that time around here anyway. So I went in, and Dennis's father and mother were inside in the chairs. And Dennis was there, and he was hale and hearty and mad for music. We played all that evening, he was polkas and slides, and I remember quite well. Seamus Innes told me several times, even up to his death, that he thought it was the nicest music he ever heard. And there was a traveller coming behind to Minnie Barry's shop at the Quarry Quest. And if Pat Ken was here, no, he'd verify it. The traveller argued with Minnie Barry that was two fiddles was playing. He was listening to the night ahead. And Minnie Barry had an awful job in trying to convince him that one of them was an accordion. So we must be going fairly well. And he was from Sligo, the traveller that was down there at the time. A man that knew about traditional music.
Whenever he came to Killarney, he'd have to come in, you know, we'd have some bit of a crack. And if anyone's around, the fiddler dog was in the car, and it was very easy to lay him.
Going to Killarney, I always remember going to Killarney. If Dennis, I wasn't able to drive it off when Dennis was alive. And I remember going to Killarney. If he would bring out a tune, a reel, we'd be in Killarney in 5 minutes. His mind would be working away at the screen and flying. And if he was bringing out in the air, and I remember another time, I said to him, well, the shops would be well closed at the time we arrived in Killarney, because we'd be going at about 10 miles an hour in the car or less. Bringing out in the air. Do you know? He was music mad. He was music mad.
When we'd go down to the campus in the wintertime, when we'd be finished up on this Baker Field part, you see, there was a few great old-timers of Irishmen worked on the campus, and they worked there all their life. They never went to Baker Field, you understand? They were on the campus at all time, you know, and there were some of them there for 50 years. But anyway, he was an out-and-out character. This Killeen was his name, from Moat in Westmead, Michael Killeen, one of the greatest. And one day me and him and Dennis were in a certain corner of a clearing snow away from this building, you see, and I was kidding Dennis about something about music or something anyway. I just says to Dennis, out of the way, I says, do you know that tune, I said, The Wind That Shakes the Barley? Oh, faith, I know it well, says Dennis, starting to whistle it. And as soon as he started to whistle, this old guy, and he was over 60 at the time. And they used to have these big rubber boots that you pull over your ordinary boots, they call them Arctics, and they come up to your knees, and there's buckles on them. And if he didn't start to dance with these big Arctic boots on him, dance the jig. Mm-hmm. Well, Dennis was thrilled to bits. He couldn't believe it. And he'd say to me, how could we get him to do it again? He'd say to me, would you tell me to start whistling? You see, he was actually thrilled to bits to see the old fella dance. And he had the steps, you know. He got such a shock when he seen him with the big boots, you know. I mean, you could hardly walk on them, never mind dancing them. And he'd done a few of the loveliest steps you ever seen.
It was lovely staying in his house because no way people say like you play music all the time, but in Dennis's house it literally was like that. He'd wake you up in the morning. Now often you wouldn't feel very welcome he'd come with a half a glass of whiskey and a bottle of stout, and he'd stand over you while you drank it, and then as soon as you got up for breakfast he'd start playing literally, and he could be playing at 4 o'clock that morning. I remember one day, in fact, when he started like that, and some fellas that were going to a job in the building came by, two or three of them. One of them, I think, played the whistle. I don't remember who they were. And they just said they'd come in. Then they said, well, they couldn't stop, but they'd have a quick cup of tea. And they were there at 3 o'clock that morning. Never got to the building job.
A fella told me one time that, you know, he had a lovely home out in Slievelook, a lovely bungalow, and he built that bungalow there, self and Julie Mary. And this man that calls here to me, the builder, and he said they were waiting for the weather to clear to plaster the outside of the house, but the weather had been bad. And this fine morning came anyway, and the builder arrived into the yard to Dennis. And I started mixing, you know, wineskope, man, no bother to him to work, you know. And I started mixing the plaster and everything ready. And they were going great, and about 11 o'clock, the postman arrived. And he had a letter for Dennis. And the letter was from Radio Éireann to meet Sean McRaymond or some of those people in Ratmore that particular day around 12 o'clock, an hour later. So Dennis read the letter, and my man was waiting for to get the hide of stuff delivered to him. And the next thing he heard Dennis saying, cut the shovel, he said, put your dandy against the wall, goodbye shovel, goodbye bucket, goodbye heap of mortar, goodbye Jim Kelly. And he said, I hadn't seen for 3 days. But that's a true story. But that's the kind of life he liked, you know.
He took his music seriously, of course, because he played very serious music. But he was able to enjoy the company and not be too professional about it. But he was a lovely fiddle player. And I think he's one of the people where I always associate the music and the instrument with the person himself. It almost, the personality came out through this music, and they were almost fused into the one. And he would play. I remember he stayed in our house in Dublin a couple of times. And he was used to getting up early, I think, but he would start to play the fiddle at 8:30 in the morning, not to disturb anyone, but just out of sheer the love of the music and goodwill. And he was always thinking of old tunes, but the awful thing about that, the sad thing, unless you were actually recording them at the time, they could be gone, because he'd say, this is an old tune my father had, or Padraig had. When you'd go to get it again, we'll say, well, I don't remember which one you meant.
No one really ever heard Dennis playing properly. I always say that, and I maintain it to this present day, that no one ever heard him playing when he'd be really playing. But this day he was playing, you know, and I don't know where we were, and he was in an awful humour, and he got the fiddle and he started playing, and the fella came to me and he said, he's highly intoxicated. I beg your pardon, I said, Dennis never had mind for drinking, really and truly. And he said, He's highly intoxicated. I said he didn't have a drink. He is not. Ah, he said, I mean, highly intoxicated with the music.
He had a lot of words for tunes, like he'd identify a tune. Like I remember one particular one that I was asking him to play very often, and it so goes something like this: dum di dum di dum 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 di dum dum. Oh, we will go roaming, hunting and sporting. We will go roaming down to Duncanstry. Hum di di ha. You know that he would do those things, you know, just off the cuff, you know.
He used to sing occasionally if he was playing a tune, particularly jigs or very old tunes. He had words to some of them, and I remember going for water was one. You know, going for water, dum da 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 dum. It's a slide, I think. You know. Going for water. First I met with her, that he'd played a tune, and of course some of these, the words for dance tunes like that. Well, let's say there weren't certainly weren't hymns.
Usually, there's some bit of a tune or song to follow the most of the tunes. Eh? The slide, it went, will you come from this to Carrigaliss to meet my Catherine Hogan? There was a tune made to that with, yeah, lovely slide too. A diddle di da diddle di addle da diddle di da dum diddle di addle diddle da diddle di diddle dum dum. Will you come from this to Carrigaliss to meet my Catherine Hogan? As far as I could go with it. But then several of them. His mother, probably his mother, from the mother too, because she, oh sure, she had plenty of music anyway.
He also sang. He used to sing that song, The Green Brooms. Now, I don't know where he may have got that from Art O'Keefe, who was a neighbour, yeah. And he sang that, and he also used to sing Football Crazy. Another song he used to sing, yeah, was Down Our Street. I don't remember all the words of that, but I remember him singing it, yeah. Those were three songs. It's just reminding me, too, one time talking about, you know, when he was a young boy. I don't know why Down Our Street reminds me, but maybe he learned it from that period, but they'd been to some kind of fair or circus. I said they had a wonderful time riding donkeys, cracking matches, and cursing madly. It was a nice little way of describing a day, you know, for boys.
He had a great love for songs, and he always made sure that during the session that there would be time for the few songs, which is a really great thing. I think it's badly needed, I think, today. Any time that there'd be a session, even in full swing now, Dennis had spot a singer there, and he would make sure that the songs were included. He really, and he had a great craw for the local songs outside, you know.
A few times someone would have asked him, you know, to sing, and he would always sing Down Our Street. That's the one. I don't remember him singing anything else. He may have now. But certainly, once you heard that, you wanted to hear it again, because he had he gave it a Dennis Murphy treatment. It was full of fun and full of development, and he had a way of saying, there's a line, there are married men and ladies fair dancing mad in the midnight air. But he always said, dancing mad in the midnight
air. Would you like to know what the wide world say about our street? All the gang are on the booze, we're all out having a wild carouse. There are skin and whiskers flying loose. Down our street, down our street. There are married men and ladies fair, dancing mad in the midnight air. There are several jawbones missing where. Down our street. A policeman once he struck Muldoon. Down our street. Says Muldoon, there will be a funeral soon. Down our street. They took off their coats and fought one round. And when Muldoon got off the ground, a policeman's whiskers was all they found. Down our street. Down our street, there are married men and ladies fair, dancing mad in the midnight air. There are several jawbones missing. Where?
Down our street. Happiness.
The Salvation Army were out last night, down our street, trying to teach us what was right, down our street. The sisters, they began to moan, the parson spoke in a snuffled tone. He was struck in the head with a stale ham bone, down our street, down our street. There are married men and ladies fair, dancing mad in the midnight air. There are several jawbones missing. Where? Down our street. The landlord never gets his rent, down our street. When he calls, there isn't a cent, down our street. He swears he'll never call again, but he'll have the bailiffs here by ten. There are 20 houses to let by then, down our street. Down our street, there are married men and ladies fair, dancing mad in the midnight air. There are several jawbones missing. Where? Down. Oh. Oh, yeah.
He used to do another thing then. I wonder, did you ever see it, John? He used to play at the blackboard and dance himself. Did you ever see that, John? Well, he'd done that several times. Play for himself and dance the blackboard. Wasn't that nice? And he was a low-step dancer, you know. Very good. But he was asked to do that several times, and he could do it lovely, you know. Yeah. Play the music himself with the fiddle and dance the blackboard at the same time. I never saw anyone to do what they do. Yeah.
That's the day they do the conferring the degrees, and they invite all the parents, you see. And everywhere, there'd be a stage here, and a stage here, and one here, you know, for the different sections for the professors to confer the degrees on them, you know, because there was so much there they couldn't bring them all into the buildings. So there was something had to be done down by one of these stages that was after being put up, and me and Dennis and another fellow were detailed to go down to do it. So the minute Dennis seen the stage, he couldn't resist it. Up he hops up on the steps and started, he says to me, "Will you whistle a bit of a hornpipe?" he says to me. And I started whistling them, you know, Boys of Blue Hill or something. And me bowled in and started to dance on the stage. Something like that. And there was thousands of students walking up and down and professors and whatnot, you know. But this old professor was passing by on him, and he stood watching Dennis dancing. And when Dennis was finished, he said, "Good on you, Irish," he says. "Do you know Shuffle After Buffalo?" That's some kind of an American dance, you know. And Dennis thought this was great, you know, to get up on the stage and do the bit of a few. He had a few steps, you know. He danced a hornpipe up on the street there out the night he was here outside the pub. He was in that good a form, you could see it in his face.
A lovely man, he was like a child. And Johnny Leary used to tell a story about him. In innocent kind of a carry on when he got the car first, you know. He was driving any up and down the road, and Johnny said to him anyway, "Dennis, I were under the car." And he said, "I'm doing great now, Johnny. I was in Guinea-Gula the other day," he says, "and do you know what I can do now?" He says, "I can drive now," he says, "and spit out."
He was coming up to Dublin one time from Kerry on the train, you see, he got very hungry on the way up, and it was a Friday, you see, and he thought he'd never get to Dublin till he get a good feed for himself, you know. So it was the time that you weren't supposed to eat meat on a Friday. So anyway, he arrived in Dublin, and he looked around and he seen this place, and he says, "The first thing I'm going to have is a good feed." So he went in and he sat down at the table in this restaurant, and they handed him the menu. So he was browsing through the menu anyway to see could he get it. He said what he really wanted was a good feed of steak. So anyway, he was just about to order this feed of steak when two priests came in and sat the far side of the table. You see? So of course, the minute he seen the priest, he forgot about the steak. So the waiter came along and he says, whatever kind of fish you have will do fine. So the waiter came and put down the fish in front of him, and the other two gentlemen were examining the menu, and they are the two steaks. And Dennis was dying with the hunger and mad for a feed of steak, but he wouldn't have it on account of the boys being there.
I remember one night we had a great session here and finished up around 12 o'clock. So there was a late night restaurant in town at the time, the first of its type, run by Liam Brown. And there was seven or eight musicians, and Dennis and Jewel and Johnny Leary, Jimmy Dale and those. And we all went down to the Knife and Fork restaurant. And when Liam saw us coming anyway, he said, I suppose he'd like the music too. I'll hold on to these for a while now, and he wouldn't be any hurry home. So we were left sitting at the tables for a good while, and nobody came near us. He was serving what was inside, you understand. And Dennis was pretty hungry. He was probably out all day or something like this. And the place was lovely done up, the restaurant. And there was wheels, sidecar wheels on the ceiling, and lights on them, you know, like this. And Julia was looking around, and she said, Dennis, she said, aren't those wheels on the ceiling beautiful? They are, but could you eat them?
I don't know how many times I went down to Ginnywilla, but one of the visits, Dennis was invited up to what they call an American wake, and I don't remember where it was, but I know we travelled quite a distance, and we're in this farm, and the occasion was held in a barn because it was a wooden floor, and they were doing Kerry sets, and there was a fellow there who was a tremendous dancer, and he was cracking the heel as he went round, and at one stage he put his foot through the floor, I remember. But Julia Mary was up dancing with them, and I was trying to play with Dennis, and after the set was over she came over laughing, and she said, you know what that fellow said to me? He stopped in the middle of the dance and he said, tell me, missus, if I'm driving you too hard. Dennis thought that. Dennis had a great sense of humour, you know, he loved that.
Well, it was in Ladderburn's house, and we were all sitting around, you know, in a big circle around a coffee table, playing away. And Mrs. O'Byrne had gone out that day because she knew the company was coming in, and she bought a new mahogany chair. And of course, Dinny was sitting in the mahogany chair right when he came in, and you know, nothing but the best for Dinny. So we were all sitting around playing and having a jar, and suddenly he was sitting next to me. Suddenly his bow went right across my face, and I looked around, and Dinny was spread eagled on the floor. The chair had separated in the middle and he went right down through it. I never forgot that one. Well, he sat there speechless for about a count of 10, and then he looked up and he started to laugh, and he couldn't stop for half an hour.
Dennis used to milk the cow as late as he could in the day so that she would carry her milk until they come home. But when I met him in the year after, I said, Dennis, who's milking your cow this evening? Oh, there is the calf, he said, is doing that, he said. And he gets help from last year's calf. He's still around. And sometimes we notice that we don't have milk for the day, and you go out and you look and the cow is dry and the calf is winking his head at the end of the house and froth running out of his puss, and he has the cow emptied.
We recorded a great session of music in a bar of all places, you know, and but I don't remember which one now, but and he played, I can remember well, it was the first time I heard the two airs, the Cuina Inéil and Cuina Iagónal.
He played two laments always. He played O'Donnell's Lament, which I know myself, but he also played another one, which he called O'Neill's. And I often wonder, were those two tunes some hangover from the Battle of Kinsale, you know, what they were doing way down in Kerry? But he had those two airs.
You know, to tell the truth, except for Seamus Innes and Willie Clancy, you know, most other musicians of that generation didn't play airs serious, unless they were kind of air players, if you like. There was a very smallish number of people who were kind of, they were air players rather than reel and jig players. But the people who played, you know, reels and jigs and hornpipes, generally speaking, they didn't play airs, with the exception of the few people I mentioned. But then when you went to Sleifrocher, you had Paddy O'Keefe, Julian Dennis all playing these airs very beautifully, with a completely different approach to what you had anywhere else, which it was obviously kind of fiddle versions. But Queenie O'Gonnell, I never had that until we had that from Sleifrocher. It's gone around a bit long ago, but still, it seems you can trace it back to Sleifrocher. The first Willie Clancy week in Milton Melbourne, which was 73, and like Dennis died in about April of 74. But he was flying at that. He was playing great and sang the Down Our Street and all at that, you know. And I met him a few times after that, you know, in between that and his own death, which would have been, you know, only 7 or 8 months later. And there was no question in anybody's mind that Dennis was in great form.
I used to play in Lacha Hall with him a lot, Peter. I played in Guinea Gool with him, and he used to play in Skirtling. He played in every hall. There was a hall in Lowentown he used to play there. There was no hall that he didn't play in. He used to play in a place called Belnadige. He played in Acne Green his young days and several places, but he finished up over at Dan Connell's as a man such was there. He lived and died in Dan Connell's.
When I heard the story, it was that he had been playing in Acne Green, where he played regularly in Dan Connell's, and that, which wasn't all that far away from Guinea Gwilia, even though it's across the county bounds. In theory, it's in Cork, or legally it's in Cork, not to agree, but it's part of the whole Sleifrocher. And so the River Blackwater is there and divides the two, but it also joins the two counties.
The last night Dennis played here, his friend Artie O'Keefe, next door neighbour from Lisheed, came along. And Artie and Dennis played away. Oh, a variety of the different old marching tunes, which were played in the Lisheed band, which Dennis's father played the old waver. And no one wanted to dance. They all wanted to listen. And that was the rarest thing that could ever happen here, because it was for the dance they came for.
The night that he did the Latin University, I met him here inside in the middle place here in Dan Connell's. And he told me, bring in the melodeon, and I walked into him, I sat down alongside him like always. And it was noble, I got in by Dennis, he played two jigs first, I never heard the note of him. And he says to me, how was him? I never heard him. So the next thing he played three or four wheels out of each other, I couldn't come in any note. And what did he do when they finished him? They choked up right, but he played three slides and I never heard the note of him that he thought I should have like. He played 14 or 15 tunes there, no, they never heard the note of that particular night. And he said to me, well, there's a fight, so you don't know them, I said, you should know them, I was given to you tomorrow night. And that was the last night I met Dennis. He went out here. And I had for long at him, and they played all straight here, for they never did in the steps go out here in the back from Dan Connell's. And this was the first time Dennis ever played outside the door here.
Dennis never took his fiddle out once he came outside the door. But when he came outside the door, at the corner of the pub out there long, he took out the fiddle. And I again fell in with him. And I started playing there for about maybe half an hour or three quarter. And Dennis said to me, oh, I think we'll go home now. So I took Dennis home. He wouldn't drive his own car that night. and I took Dennis home. And I remember when we passed Lucien Cross back, testing for his own house, we were talking about the music and Artie and all the rest of the music. And I left Dennis behind about maybe 12:15. That was the night that he died.
I wasn't in Dunconnell at all the Sunday night that he died, but I met him the night before that we were playing over together. And I happened to be below the Kremlin, and this friend of mine came on and he said, I have a bad news for you. And I thought it was someone of our own, crowd or something that happened. And he said, what happened? Your friend Dennis Murphy, he said, died last night after coming in Dunconnell's. And he wasn't long home, I think he was only just going to bed when he died.
The morning that Dennis had died, I couldn't believe it. The first thing I did was to make down for Johnny O'Leary. Johnny had gone in at 12 o'clock that night to work, and he was just coming off in the morning and when I arrived down. And I think Johnny had barely had.
I was working over in the factory the following morning. I was working in Fake Headbeats for 34 years, and this manager came up to me and said, who was playing with you last night? Knocking away, he was coming back for the papers. I said, Dennis Murphy. I heard back the way to say he's dead. And the windier I looked out the gate, and when Don Connell coming with the car and he quick, he said, Dennis Murphy's dead. And I left. I couldn't stay there anywhere, but they left me off, and they left me home that year. That was the biggest shock I ever got.
Peaceful or quiet, you'd say. But I never heard them saying anything ugly about anybody in my whole life. He was always quiet and gentle, you know, very gentle altogether. You know, there was nothing rough or vulgar about him at all. Quiet, that kind of a nature, you know, everything was quiet, and he hated any commotion or anything. He wanted everything to run smooth, like. Oh, they were heartbroken. He'd never coming here to the house, you know, after him. They were, a lot of them, you know, they were completely dazed after him, you know.
I couldn't believe it. Yeah, it was a tragedy, really, because there was many more years left in him. But he was an awful loss. He was really was a big deal in his time anyway, too. You know, he really was, you know. You know, people, they'd ask who was there, you know, and sit at house tents and say Dennis Murphy was playing there. Just everyone would be regretting, you know, they weren't there.
Well, I felt great sadness. It was very lonesome for him, you know, because I was looking forward to him. He told me that he'd come again when he'd get, you know, he loved to come for a bit of a drive to meet somebody he'd know, you know, or have a bit of crack. And he had nothing to do, you see, he was retired and he could come and go as he pleased, you know, and he loved that. I knew things would never be the same again, like I could go down there at any time myself because I was more or less retired as well, mm-hmm. See, but I mean, there was no point in going when he wasn't there.
Yeah, it's funny, as I say, most people you meet, you wouldn't remember the first or the last time. I so distinctly remember that very first time. But I also remember the last time. It was the last time, in fact, that I was in Guineawilla as such. I went down, I don't know why, but Dennis had gone to a funeral and I couldn't find him. And then I met him on the road. And it was a strange thing that we gave each other a hug, which isn't the sort of thing you normally think of with an ordinary Irish person, and he was either coming or going to the funeral. But I felt such affection for him, and that was the last time I saw him. Literally, within a few weeks or months, I heard he was dead. And then I was down to his funeral. I think you were there for that sad occasion.
I'll tell you the reason he was a big loss. Not so much for the music. We knew, of course, he was a great musician and everything. But his manner and the way he would approach you and what the people taught him. Nicholas McAuliffe now told me one time that he went up to Clare, and I forget now to something at Willie Clancy's, this was the memorial, but this fellow that knew Dennis above, he said, did you bring Dennis Murphy at all, or did you hear he was coming? And Nicholas said, no, I don't think he's coming at all. We didn't care, he said, he never played a tune. But if he came, we'd love to talk to him. So that'll tell you then what was that.
You'd never walk into North of Blue Dennis Murphy anyway, I can tell you, or he wouldn't go down, no musician or open his mouth about anything. Only he said that were all great. He'd be looking up at him with the lovely, play that again.
He was, if you say, no matter where you'd go or where you'd see him, let it be at a funeral or a wake or anywhere, he had an uplifting effect and you'd never mean to see him. He was associated with enjoyment, fun, sport, and wanted it. The very minute you'd see him, no matter how sorry or how downtrodden you'd be or how... the very fact of seeing Dennis should lift you, the same as he lift you in a city.
We mourn you, Dennis, who died in springtime. Traditional music was his first love. His call came sudden and in his prime. Now he plays the fiddle in the choir above. Dennis was known from Cork to Derry. At Flanacule he was to be seen with his sister Julia and Johnny Leary. His tapes and records keep his memory green. He was a quiet man and unassuming, not affected by his rise to fame. At the very top, with his records booming, Dennis Murphy was still the same. He played in O'Connell's in Knocknagree. We remember best his famous lights in New York and on RTE. His smiling face with us abides. In his quiet grave in Ginevigwilla, his many tributes can there be seen. We thank you, Dennis, for the joys you gave us, and your name will live beyond Lisheen.
Memories of Dennis Murphy, we heard John McMahon, Ivor Brown, Mikey Duggan, Johnny O'Leary, Seamus McMahona, Dan O'Connell, Paddy Reynolds, Jimmy O'Brien, Kieran McMahona, Sonny Reardon, and Julia Mary Murphy. The song in memory of Dennis Murphy was sung by Christy Cronin. Thank you.
and thanks for listening to the Rolling Wave podcast with me, Aoife Nic Cormick. And that programme about Dennis Murphy was made by Peter Brown and first broadcast on RTE Radio 1 in 1995. And you can listen to the first of those two programmes in our podcasts as well. Until the next time, Gura Míle Mahaki Asocht Fe Geistocht Agus Slán.